Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the KSALT India Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from Ernst & Young Investor Relations for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Prateek.
Thank you, Ryan. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining KSALT India Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call. The results have been mailed to you along with the investor presentation, and it is also available at www.ksalt.com. In case anyone does not have the copy of investor presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to share it with you. Joining us today from the management team, we have Ratan Srivastava, Chairman and Managing Director, Umang Soni, Chief Financial Officer, Manish Gurnani, Chief Technical Officer, Darpan Auditya, Head, Business Transformation and Consulting. We will begin with management's remarks covering the business update and quarterly performance highlights, and then move on to the Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report that you can find on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Ratan, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Prateek. Welcome, and thank you everyone for joining our Q3 financial year 26 earnings call. Wish you all a happy New Year. As we close the third quarter of FY26, I am happy, pleased to say that we continued to build on the momentum stabilized in the first half of the year. We reported 6.6% Q-on-Q revenue growth and 12.2% year-on-year growth, with EBITDA margin in line as guided at 32.4%. Growth this quarter was primarily driven by stable execution across our core services portfolio, ramp-up of previous large deal wins, and continued traction in overseas market. Notably, a large portion of this growth came from existing clients through wallet expansion, which reflects a strong client confidence and stickiness. Over the last few quarters, we have been very clear about our priorities: scalable growth, long-term capability building, and disciplined capital allocation. Q3 reflects the execution of that strategy. I am pleased to share that our organization has been certified as a Great Place to Work effectively January 2026 to January 2027. This reflects the trust of our employees and the strong culture we continue to build, which support our growth and long-term success. From a business standpoint, demand across our core services offering remains healthy, particularly in ERP, cloud, data engineering, AI, Salesforce, and enterprise transformation programs. Our pipeline remains healthy and strong. Demand visibility, especially in the U.S., UAE, and Australia. Our continued expansion in overseas market remains a key long-term growth lever. Given the higher deal sizes, longer tenures, and better wallet expansion opportunities these markets offer, the active pipeline give us good visibility for the next two quarters, supported by both new deal wins and deeper engagement with existing accounts. We remain confident of achieving 20% year-on-year revenue growth in FY26. Particularly, agentic AI and GenAI is increasingly becoming embedded within larger transformation mandates rather than being pursued as a standalone initiative. Our strategy is clear: embed AI across ERP, analytics, and business workflows, thereby expanding deal scope and increasing engagement depth. Internally, we are leveraging AI for productivity gains and improved delivery efficiency. While we continue to optimize its usage, we have not seen pricing pressure from clients. Instead, clients are focused on improving output and accelerating ERP, cloud, data engineering, and transformation programs with AI rather than negotiating lower rates. While this improved efficiency may slightly impact on time and material engagements, it aligns with our strategy shift towards fixed cost or structured T&M engagements, where we control resources and benefit directly from productivity gains. As seen during the Q4 FY25 transition from T&M to fixed cost project, we will continue to prioritize these models as they support pricing discipline and long-term client value. For 9-month FY26, we reported revenue of 119.6 crore, reflecting a strong growth of 14.9% year-on-year EBITDA margin. However, declined to 29.9% from 37.8% in 9-month FY25, and PAT margin dropped to 20.6% from 27.3% in the same period. This was primarily due to our international investment in strengthening leadership depth, enhancing brand visibility, and building differentiated product and platform capabilities. As highlighted in our earlier calls, these investments were planned to strengthen the foundation for KSOL's next phase growth. While they created temporary margin softness, they are not structural cost additions and positions us well for the medium term. We did experience margin compression due to strategic investment in events and marketing, and some of these initiatives did not yield the expected outcome. However, we do not expect similar level of spending at the same intensity going forward. As revenue scales, utilization remains healthy and overseas initiatives start to contribute more meaningful, we expect margins to move back toward normalized levels. We continue to maintain a medium-term EBITDA margin outlook of around 30%. The benefit of our strategic investment, particularly in expanding our overseas presence and strengthening the capabilities, are expected to translate into improved deal flow and better revenue transition over the coming quarters and into FY27. As we move into the fourth quarter of the year, our focus remains on, first, deepening client relationship; second, expanding wallet share; third, improving execution efficiency; and fourth, building a strong pipeline for FY27. There is no fundamental change in our strategy direction for the next 2-3 years. Our priorities remain consistent and well-defined. We will continue to scale our core services business, deepen relationship with global clients, and increase the share of large, long-tenure engagements. At the same time, we will selectively scale our product in a calibrated manner. Thank you. With this, I now hand over the floor to Umang to share financial highlights.
Okay. Thank you, Ratan, and good evening, everyone. I will briefly take you through the financial performance for the quarter ended 31st December 2025. So in Q3 FY26, we reported revenue of rupees 42.3 crore, representing a growth of 6.6% QOQ and 12.2% YOY. That top line growth was driven by consistent execution across ongoing client engagement and incremental ramp up of projects during the quarter. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 32.4%, expanding by 194 basis points sequentially. This improvement was driven by operating leverage from revenue growth, better execution efficiency, and the benefits of investments made in earlier quarters. Profit after tax for Q3 stood at 9.8 crores, translating into PAT margin of 23.2%. Earnings per share for the quarter was ₹4.13. compared to ₹3.5 per share in Q3 FY25. Additionally, pursuant to the implementation of new labor code, gratuity expenses expected to increase. The impact is not material and will be recognized in Q4 without any changes to our EBITDA margin guidance. Cash generation remained strong and our balance sheet continues to be healthy with cash and cash equivalents of ₹13 crores. We still remain a net debt-free company. And in terms of cash utilization, our priority remains unchanged. We will continue to deploy capital in a disciplined manner towards growth initiatives such as selective hiring, capability enhancement, product improvement, and strengthening our overseas footprint. At the same time, we remain committed to shareholder returns. During the quarter, board declared a third interim dividend of rupees 5 per share, taking the total dividend for the financial year 2026 to rupees 11 per share. Further, considering the growth potential we see in Australia, the board has approved the initiation of a wholly owned subsidiary to support growth and scale in that region. Now, from a client concentration perspective, our top 5 clients and top 10 clients contributed 40% and 54% of our revenues, respectively, in 9-month FY26. Approximately 78% of our revenues were derived from overseas customers, underscoring the increasing contribution of global markets. We continue to remain a diversified industry mix, with telecom remaining our largest segment, while also serving a broad range of industries, including services, technology, BFSI, edutech, retail, healthcare, and manufacturing. In terms of revenue by business, our IT services segment contributed 97.4% to our revenue in the 9-month FY26. While our product segment contributed 2.6% to our revenue for the same period. As highlighted in our calls, IT services continue to be the backbone of our revenue and profitability. The product segment, though currently a small contributor, remains strategically important and being scaled in a disciplined manner. As we enter into the fourth quarter of FY26, we remain cautiously optimistic. Our focus continues to be on quality growth, margin discipline, and strong cash generation. We are confident in our ability to sustain momentum while staying aligned with our long-term financial and strategic goals. With this, I will now hand over the floor to the operator to open the session for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Raghav from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon. Yeah, so my first question will be on the EBITDA margin. Like you said, it was, we saw approximately 496 BPS of, downtrend in the EBITDA margin. I just wanted to understand what was the driver of this particular thing.
Sure. So, Raghav, if you see on QOQ basis, the EBITDA has grown by 194 basis points, but year on year, there is a dip. And for 9-month FX, the dip was because from Q1 starting, we have invested lot in attending events as a speaker. We have our booths there. And as compared to 9-month FY25, where we attended a couple of events, this time during the 9 months, we attended more than 10 events. So that was a major chunk. And other chunk comes to ESOPs and hirings, senior hirings, which we have done, and digital marketing and branding presence. So this all were the contributors for the low EBITDA margin as compared to 9-month FY25.
Right. Now, sir, my next question is on the data flow manager. First of all, sir, I just wanted to understand, going forward, what will be the company's outlook between the product and service part of the business, as in for the next year, what percentage of product business are we targeting? First question. And then follow-up is, I wanted to understand more on the DSM part, sir. What does it exactly do? What are its substitutes? What is the, you know, TAM of it? Who are the peers? And, like, is it also compatible in, let's say, Python along with this Apache GFI?
So first of all, our focus will be, again, on services only, okay? Not product. Second, the technical answer, Manish, our CTO, is online. Over to you, Manish. Try to cover it in 2-3 minutes.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Ratan. All right, so to answer that, right? See, DFM is a product which is built on top of open source Apache and IFI, right? If you talk about peers, the only peer that we have is, you can say Cloudera, which is, you know, a very different, very bigger company, a very different company, right? What we have brought with DFM is, we have brought in capabilities which are not in Cloudera or in any other product. So that is why we are looking at DFM as a game changer for Apache and IFI operations. Okay. It works with, you know, Python, it works with Java, it can work with what you call as other technologies also. Okay. Then we have, you know, we already have onboarded customers also onto DFM, and these are like big players. Some of them are in telecom, some of them are into retail, right? And they have been using DFM for quite a good amount of time, and that feedback is also coming to us, which is going into product and making it even better. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. I have some follow-ups. I'll join back in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Apurva, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. I will go one by one. So my first question is on the, there are a few examples which are put on the presentation, such as motor coil manufacturing. We have done some automation. Similarly, for pump manufacturing company and telecom operator. So my question is on the payment side. Like, do we get payment from these sort of automations or the work we have done, it's for one time, or we get the recurring revenue? Also, if it is the recurring revenue, then that revenue is based on the transaction based, or it's a fixed amount of payment is received every year.
So first of all, it is a one-time payment, and it is a fixed cost project based on the amount of the work we quote, and then we charge them.
Got it. Got it. And sir, if I'm not wrong, like our 85% of revenue is recurring, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, my second question is on the DFM side. Like, I remember that we got our first DFM customer, I think in Q4 last year. So just want to know that how many clients do we have currently for DFM?
We have two customer onboarded. Third is taking the trial. Okay. And three customers are in process to sign the NDA. All these customers are multi-million or billion company.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, I just want to know how big can this DSM can go, like, in terms of our revenue contribution, maybe a couple of years later down the line?
If we will be successful, however, I was planning that I will avoid this answer. But if we will be successful, if our luck will be with us, it will be big.
Okay. Like, if you can, like mention some numbers, maybe, like, in terms of percentage, like, of our revenue, like, maybe 5-10% of revenue will be coming from DSM.
More than that, but everything depend on the luck. Product is something that many people develop product, and many times good product, excellent idea, okay. But building a product is 10%. 90% is your luck and sales. Okay.
Got it.
So if things will work, then it will be big. If it will not, that's why I did not mention anything about DFM in the PPT, because we are still talking to the customers, and customer cycle is very long, conversion cycle, because they are the decision makers of multi-billion or multi-million company. Okay. Anyway.
Sure, sir. Like, if you can mention the DFM revenue contribution in this quarter, in Q3?
This quarter is very small. That's why I'm saying. You said that what is your plan for next few years? So that's why I answered. Otherwise, if you will ask what is the current situation, current number or the next quarter number, then definitely I would like to avoid this question. Next few years it will be good. If our luck will be with us.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question, and congrats for a good set of numbers in terms of recovery QoQ. So, given you are saying 20% growth for this FY 2026, that would mean another similar QoQ growth in Q4. Are we bullish on that? And can you, as in, based on demand side, can you talk about something on FY 2027? That can we expect similar to or similar or better growth in terms of 25%-30% growth in FY 2027, sir?
Okay. So for next quarter, we have pipeline. And if anything will not happen with the world, okay, we will beat the target, 20%. Right? And for the next year, Umang, you can answer this.
Sure. For next year, we'll provide the guidance later on, but we are still having a good pipe and good visibility for next couple of quarters. But yeah, definitely we are having a good growth.
Okay. Okay, sure, sir. And sir, on margin side, can you talk, as in PPT, we have still written 25%-30%, but you talked about 30% coming in, and since there are no more event plans, so can you event plans
of that 25%, right? Last time I said that 25%, and I did 32+, right? So same thing will happen. I would like to be conservative, but I don't want to give anything which may be risky. Okay. So 25%-30% is we have given the guideline. We would like to do better than this, but yes, between 25%-30%, we are confident.
But there is no big any planned event coming which will restrict us, right?
No planned event. Nothing. This is very small. Now, even in future, you will not see, for next 2-3 years, you will not see those kind of events which we have attended in last 2-3 quarters, okay, and which has impacted on EBITDA. Okay. So we will attend the events, but very selected events, and we will go with the small booth and all. Okay. Not, we will not spend huge money for the events.
Got it. So that's nice.
We should go event. We will go event, but as a visitor or as a attendees, okay, we will spend very small amount of the money for the events. So it was a learning. Okay.
Sure, sir. And next question would be, a couple of IT companies and even banking companies have taken this labor law impact in their quarter this time. We haven't taken any impact. So anything that doesn't impact us, sir, on labor law impact?
Yeah, in fact, as I stated, the impact is not material, and we are working on restructuring. So it will not impact our EBITDA margin guidance for FY26.
Got it, sir. Nice to know that. And last question, and then I'll fall back in the queue. I wanted to ask on any dividend policies. Again, this quarter we have declared a nice dividend. Our dividend payout is also quite good compared to net profit. So do we expect those similar trends to continue? How should we think about on those terms?
Yes, we have a strong cash position and we have a good profitability. Okay, so we can reward the shareholders, and at the same time we are also investing in leadership hiring, global expansion and branding initiatives. So we are you can say we are maintaining a balance between both growth and shareholder returns. Yeah.
Got it, sir. Actually, last question. Given our stock price has fallen quite a bit from the top, so any plans to consider buyback or even promoter buying that will instill some confidence in the market?
No plan. I think we have given good numbers for the confidence. If it is not giving the confidence, then what I can do?
Got it. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Kaustav Bhavna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Again, it's more on the product side of the business. I understand you've got a lot of questions on this, but really wanted to understand, you know, when it comes to building a solution on top of an open source platform like Apache and iFi, for the data flow product that we are building on top of Apache and iFi, I mean, what are the threats that could come up, risks that could come up in the way in terms of competition that could derail this growth opportunity for us? That's the first question. And the second question is, what really is the aim of the company in terms of growing this product business? I mean, is it only going to be a product business which is basically solutions on top of open source platforms? And if that's the case, then why so? Why is the company, what opportunity is the company seeing build on top of open source platforms? What other open source platforms are there? I mean, can you sort of give us some sort of like a 5-year roadmap in terms of what this division can really build up into? Thanks.
Okay. So let me answer first question. Okay. There was one threat only which I was feeling, that AI, agentic AI. Okay, it was missing in our project. Okay. We have done a very good job in our product, but I was thinking that if anyone will come up with the agentic AI solution for this problem, then it can be a problem. But today we have launched the agentic AI solution for DFM 2.0. Okay, if you will go on our website, kesos.com, you will see there's a banner and which is inviting everyone for a webinar which we are going to organize on 2nd Feb. Manish will speak there. Okay. And Manish will with the demo of PFM 2.0 upgraded with agentic AI, first ever. Means first ever. No one has this solution with agentic AI. Okay. And then I hope that if you will be amazed. So request you that join that webinar, then you will get the idea that what we have developed and what is the future, you would be able to guess it on your own. Okay. Can you repeat your second question again?
I wanted to kind of understand a 5-year roadmap on how this products business of yours, which is adding solutions on top of open source platforms, will look like. So like, what other open source platforms are you targeting? What other solutions are you targeting on the Apache and i5 platform? And then also like, yeah, so basically that's first.
Okay. So Apache, NiFi is a product of Apache Foundation. Okay. Apache Foundation has multiple products. Apache NiFi, Apache Spark, Apache Kafka, Apache Cassandra. Okay. So what all these things are the open source technology. Okay. And if you want to use for your business to use these technologies as an open source, you will have to do multiple things on your own. You will have to hire a big or large DevOps team. Okay, very expensive. So I will start from the Cassandra. Cassandra is a NoSQL database. Okay, and there's a company DataStacks. They have created a wrapper, you can created a product on the top of Cassandra. And they have solved all the problems, majorly all the problems, okay. And many business has started using services by DataStacks who were using open source Cassandra because everything was customized based on their requirement. Same happened with the Kafka. Confluent company came into the picture. They customized the solution. They customized the Kafka open source, and they have provided, they have developed an enterprise solution. Okay, and then businesses started using enterprise solution provided by Confluent rather than open source Kafka. Okay. So same thing happened with the Apache NiFi. Okay. We have developed a solution which has solved so many problems of NiFi solutions, and we have we told our leads or customer that it will decrease your cost up to 70%, 60%, 80%. Okay. Or in another word, you can say increase the efficiency. Okay. We have given approximately 20 to 30 demos. Everyone has appreciated. Okay. But problem is that most of the time we are not able to approach our decision makers. Okay. Many times we engineers are coming, or people who are not decision makers. Sometimes the engineers are also decision makers, but most of the time decision makers are not, we are not able to approach them. So that's why I'm very conservative about DSM. It will take time. Word of mouth will work. Okay. Product is amazing. Okay. And once people will start knowing about this product, okay, definitely people will, the right people, means the decision makers will approach us, or we would be able to find them. But it will take time. Okay. Another thing is that, do we have any threat? There is always threat. If someone can build a solution better than this or something like this. But the most important thing is that building a solution is not a big thing. When people use it, when test it, that is the actual testing. That is in software industry we call it a beta testing. Okay.
and we have done it for two customers, and it took more than 6 months. We have, when we started beta testing, we found multiple issues. Then this product got stable. Okay, so building product is only 10%, as I said. Marketing, sales, and testing is very important. And the last and most important thing is your luck, means our luck. If luck will not be with us, we will not be successful. Okay. So I cannot give any number. We are working hard. We worked hard and we are very optimistic. But our major focus is at this moment, because services are, is our bread butter. So services is our major focus. Major focus. Okay. I hope
Thank you so much for that detailed answer. Just one last clarification on your reply. Is this agentic AI solution you've come up with, have you outsourced the agentic AI or have you developed it in-house?
We have developed in-house, but detailed answer, Manish, you can give me. You can give them. Right? Manish, over to you.
Okay, thanks. So, yes, short answer is it is all in-house developed. But the like Ratan said, right? This agentic AI, as you know, the it needs experience on the product itself. So you need to know about NiFi before you can actually build some AI or then agentic AI on top of that, right? So we have that knowledge. That is why we were able to build it. Not that it can be just copied and someone else can build it easily. You get my point, right? Because we have been working with NiFi and open source technologies for long. We have that knowledge. We are the only company in India of our side to contribute to source code of Apache NiFi. Nobody else does that. We have that level of capability. That is why we have been able to build this solution also. And that's why we are, you know, doing good also.
So it's not been, it's this AI, it's like you've not outsourced in a sense this agentic AI, like from these global companies Google or Microsoft, etc. You haven't OpenAI, etc. You haven't outsourced it from them, right? Yeah. It's all in house.
Hold on. Two parts of this. The LLM is always coming out from one of these giants only. The LLM.
Could you repeat that?
The LLM. Am I audible? The language model that is coming from one of these giants only. We cannot build our own LLM. That is out of question. But using that LLM, the agent that runs, which understands the commands and then sends those commands and executes those commands, that is the agent part. That part has been done by us.
Okay.
So we will still use, let's say, Gemini or OpenAI. But the agent that has been trained, that is developed by us.
Understood. That's exactly what I wanted to understand. Okay, great.
So all the solutions, whoever is developing, top MNCs, they are using LLMs provided by these top giants. Okay, no one has their own LLM. Okay. Exactly what I thought.
So I just wanted to clarify that. great. Thank you so much for the detailed responses, and look forward to talking to you again. Best of luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. So I started tracking your company recently, and I have a few questions on your business model and especially on your Odoo practice. So how much of the revenue from Odoo comes from India, and what is the profile of your customers in Odoo? Like what kind of turnover and all they are having, and what do you feel the long-term prospects of Odoo in India and globally? And if you can share, the recurring revenue potential from Odoo for the AMC part.
Okay. So, first part of this question, Umang, you answer, then the rest I will cover. How much percentage
more than 80% of our revenue is coming from global clients in Odoo, and overall it's 78%, but more than 80%, 85% is from the Odoo division that comes from overseas markets.
Sorry, more than 80-85% of overall revenue, or the Odoo revenue comes from overseas markets?
Odoo revenue.
Okay. No, no, I was asking that how much of the Odoo revenue is coming from India?
India revenue is the answer.
Okay, so let me again clarify it. Out of the total Odoo revenue, 80-85% comes from out of India. Remaining 10-15% comes from India for Odoo.
Okay, okay.
And we are not tracking it technology wise. If you ask that how much revenue we have done in Odoo, so it's more than 20% of our total revenue. But our services are mixed with more other technologies as well. So we are not tracking individually technology wise the revenues. But yeah, Odoo is something which is more than 20%.
And what kind of customer profile in India are opting for Odoo?
Most of the time, these are the small companies. But the good thing is that this is most of the time recurring. Okay.
Sorry, sir, it was not clear. Can you repeat one?
Okay, so answer is that most of the time these are the small companies from the India, but good part is that they are the small, but revenue is many times recurring.
Okay. No, so their turnover will be typically like 50 CR, 100 CR, or in what range of turnover those customers will be there?
There are many customers, most of the customers are above 50 CR. I will not say that less than 50, but 50, above 50 many times. And many of them are even good brands also. 5,000 CR company also. They are using Odoo.
Okay, and what percentage of revenue can be recurring from Odoo? Like, so I believe the customers will be highly sticky, right? So, if you earn 100 rupees in the first year, like, can you expect to earn 15%, 20% every year? Like, what kind of recurrence
can we expect? Yeah. 10 to 15% approximately, many times. What with the licenses or next module implementation or support or whatever, 10 to 15%.
Okay. Okay. And so, apart from Odoo and overall in your business, so how are the business inquiries on the ground, and how many of the inquiries are moving to third stage, fourth stage, and fifth stage? Like, how are they advancing?
Exact data I do not have, but for Odoo, we are getting lots of inquiries. Okay. Many times we leave the opportunity because of the budget issue, because sometimes they are very small, so we leave them. Okay. But right percentage I do not have. Okay. That I can find out, and if you will drop the email, I will send it to you.
Okay. No, so apart from Odoo, how are the other inquiries for your other services and products on the ground, and how many of those inquiries, like
for big data, suppose. For big data, out of 10, 6 to 7 we convert. Okay. For Salesforce, the same ratio. For AI, the same ratio. The ratio is less for Odoo because many times very small customer come and they don't have right enough budget, so we leave them.
Okay, sir, understood. And sir, talking about your product, which you were very bullish on, the one of its kind product that you mentioned. So what will be the revenue model from the product? Will it be SaaS based, or it will be one-time license, or it will be like pay per use? And will it have a compulsory maintenance fee every year? So how are you planning the revenue model? And will there be customization opportunities in the product?
Okay. So first of all, I'm not bullish for next quarter.
or next year. Please do not get confused. It is a long-term product. 2 years, 3 years, my vision is with that product. Okay. First thing. Second thing is that the revenue model is recurring. For first customer, we have charged $50,000 and that is the recurring. For second customer, we have charged approximately 10 to 20. Okay, between, I do not remember the exact number. It will be recurring. Right now, we are in early stage, so we are not charging anything for customization. But after getting enough number of customers, definitely we will charge for the customization also. And that is our plan.
Thank you.
We will generate revenue by selling the product, and at the same time, we will charge them for customization to increase the revenue for services.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raghav from Kamayaka Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. This is a follow-up question, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand. You pretty much answered it, but just wanted to confirm, what is the average ticket size, like our average bill value for this DSM? Like you said, 50,000. Is it average, on an average?
As I said, that at this moment, it is very, means we are in an early stage, we are giving a huge discount to customers so that we can onboard as many as customers. Okay, because there will be word of mouth only and only when customers will start using. Okay, so we have, as I said, that 50,000, then 16 or 18,000, maybe next will be 6,000 or maybe 60,000. So we don't know, because all type of customers are coming, small to medium to large. Okay. Problem is that right. The conversion cycle, and this product is something that which can affect their business largely if it will not work as per their expectation. So they are very cautious about taking decision. Okay. So that's why I'm
understanding
again and again that everything will depend on luck. Sorry, most of the things will depend on luck. Okay.
Right.
So,
fair enough, sir. So my next question would be around the margins. I'm assuming we will have better margins in products as compared to the service. Is it a fair assumption?
Yeah, I would request you that for product we can discuss in next after two, three quarters. Okay. Then I would be able to talk more about the revenue from the product side. Okay. I am very confident at this moment only about the services.
Right. And so just one last thing. Just wanted to understand the cost difference, like you said. I know it's a bit too early to, give it a standard pricing, like 50,000, 12,000, 16,000. You're giving discounts because, you are in the early stage. That's completely understandable. Just wanted to understand the pricing difference that you have among your peer who is offering the same service to the clients. Is it at par? Is it a bit at a cheaper cost, or is it, much at a premium side?
Manish, if I say 7 to 8 times, they are costly and they have very less feature as compared to us. So is this the correct statement?
I think so. Easily. Okay.
So 7 to 8 times, they are costlier.
Much yes, more than that.
They have a very less feature. Very less feature.
Right. There was some unclarity here. 7 to 8 times, our peers are more costly, right?
More, they are more expensive than us.
Okay, got it.
No one has this solution. If anyone has this solution, just 10 to 15% solution. And second thing, that no one has agentic AI.
Right. Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, when I ask...
Give me one second, because I talk too much about this product. I don't want to create any confusion. For product revenue, I do not have any idea for next few quarters. Okay. I would be able to speak more about the revenue and future of this TFM after 2-3 quarters.
Understood, sir. All right, sir. That's all from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, on the product side, you said you don't want to talk about revenue framework. So can we talk about how much cost are we incurring on it right now, and on basis of quarterly run rate or yearly run rate, how much do we expect cost to come in?
In the product development?
Yeah, product development as well as marketing, yeah.
Very less. As compared to our sales, it is very less. Very less. It is not going to affect EBITDA.
So basically, this expense or losses, currently losses, will not impact the software side of the business, right?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Got it. And maybe last question would be on the service side, can you talk about demand environment, given there are some geographically things are bit volatile in terms of US tariffs and all demand side issues. Can you talk about that, please?
Yeah, I'm listening to this question, I think, over the last 7 to 8 quarters. Okay, and again, I will repeat, we are working on the niche technology. Okay, so demand is not problem for us. Problem is supply. Okay, good resources, finding a good resources. But again, that problem we can solve in next few quarters by using AI. We are using AI, okay, for internally also. So it is helping us to increasing efficiency by not hiring too much resources. So I hope that I have given the answer.
This problem or whatever.
Okay, this is not affecting the business.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
If we would have been in US, okay, our engineers, suppose if we could have been engineers in the US, okay, definitely. But I'm not sure, fortunately or unfortunately, we have offshore business only.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, I just wanted to understand, so to what percentage of our customers are we able to cross-sell our services and products? Like selling Salesforce solution to an Odoo customer or vice versa or any other service. Like, are we mining our customers for cross-selling and how successful we are at it?
Okay. Percentage exactly, maybe Umang can tell you, but it is huge. Okay. Many times customer came for Odoo, they have given us opportunity for AI. Many times customer came for Salesforce, then they have given us opportunity for Big Data. So cross-sell and upsell is very huge. Okay, but exact number one, if you have one, then you can give, otherwise you can answer later on.
No, as I told that earlier answer, that it's a blend of services most customers are taking. Suppose if someone is coming for products, then they are exploring services. In services, they are coming for Salesforce. Then they are merging sometimes Big Data, Odoo, or maybe other technologies as well, open source. So it's a blend of everything.
Many times customers start from the small. I still remember one customer who is in our top 5 right now. That customer started 3 years before with 3-4 resources, right? Or maybe 5 resources. Right now, the annual number is approximately between 25 to 28 CR. With that customer.
This is one example. So a company like us, they start from the small amount of the work with the good customer. Okay, and then when they see that, this answer I have given multiple times in every call for. When they see that we are able to deliver, they increase the work. They increase the work. Okay. So.
Okay, and so last question, like total, what is your client base? Like how many customers you are serving from the smallest to the largest? What would be the number of clients, India and overseas combined?
So on services side, our clients would be around more than 200.
Okay.
Answer, I could not understand what is the answer.
More than 200 clients. More than 200 active clients on services side.
No, I think he has used large and small. Total customer. Okay.
Total, yes, total.
Okay. Yeah, I'm asking total, including very small customers. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Yeah. The 200 is the total number, right? Or you are cross-checking?
100 plus. 200 plus.
200 plus is the number, but if I define your question, then question should be that 60% revenue is contributing by how many customers? Okay. Then, Umang, can you answer on this? 60%, 70% or 50%?
60% revenue, this mostly are 15-20 customers, which contribute around over 60% of our revenue. And these customers are mostly large enterprise clients only.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining the call. And thank you, Pratik and Dan, for organizing this first Chorus call. Okay, this was my first experience, but it went well. I was nervous because before this, I have always given a video call. Okay. So anyway, thank you. And today we have received a Best Place to Work award also, which I have already covered in my statement, speech, okay, and this is something which shows that we are not generating only the revenue also, we have a good working environment, we have a happy employees also, so today I'm very happy, I mean, it is something that which is rewarding me that I'm doing good for my employees and in my operations, so thank you. And thank you to everyone for believing on us. And I hope that we will do better than this time in future. We will try our best. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of KSolves India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines.